but I did have to deal with the insurance company and get a claim going and all that. And of course, that's a hassle that no one ever enjoys. But pray that all goes well with that, as far as the insurance. In all likelihood, the car I was driving is most likely going to be declared totaled. It theoretically probably could be repaired, but the repairs would be so costly that it would be more than what the car is worth at this point. So they'll probably just declare it totaled and give me a cash settlement for it. I don't know how much it would be, but hopefully I'll be able to find a new vehicle relatively quickly. I don't have a car right now, which feels pretty weird. But I would appreciate your prayers regarding all of that. And thankfully, the Lord kept me. And I believe it is a miracle, because it certainly could have and probably should have been, by all logic, a lot worse than it was. But thank God I'm still here. And kind of incredible, you know, I wasn't feeling too bad today. Like I said, I got some general aches and pains, but it was a nice day. It was about 40 degrees out, which is very warm for December, so I decided to go for a walk. And I was just thinking about that as I went for my walk, that it's kind of incredible that I can still walk 2 days after an accident like that. So praise the Lord. And really glad to be here. So, yes, I'd appreciate your prayers. There's going to be a lot of stuff to figure out in the days ahead, but praise God, I know all will be well, for the Lord is with us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. All right, we're going to have Shirley come up, and she's going to lead a Bible study tonight.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Oh my, it's really been something. But oh, it's beautiful when you can see the goodness of the Lord. And you know, we don't understand in the midst of troubles quite often just what all is going on. But oh, praise the Lord. The Lord always has more that he's doing than we could ever recognize at the first. And thank the Lord. It is wonderful to be able to put it into his hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go into prayer right now and ask the Lord to be here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do love you, God. We do worship you, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful that your eyes are upon the sparrows, Lord, and even, oh, Lord, so much more your people. And God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you delivered Sam out of that accident. And, oh, God, I know you're going to work out all the other details. Oh, God, I pray that, oh, Lord, you take care of Sarah, Lord, through this ordeal. And, oh, Lord, whatever all it's about, Lord, I pray that it would draw her closer to thee, Lord. I pray that it would bring her to that point of greater understanding, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, for these things that you've allowed, God, many times we don't understand. But, oh, Lord, you have a plan. You have a purpose. We can trust you, Lord. We can put it into thy hands. And I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you would do your work, Lord. Oh, God, do your work, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, Lord, continue to help him. And, oh, Lord, let healing virtue flow over him, Lord Jesus. And, oh, God, you just know every need of your people, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work in us. That you'd make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Give us that kind of faith that we need, oh, Lord, in the midst of these times that we are living in. Give us that faith that will, oh, God, endure throughout all circumstances, Lord, that will take us through, God. Oh, Lord, we put our trust in thee, oh, God. We could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, we need you here tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you give me the words, oh, God, the anointing, the authority, the ability, oh, God, to bring forth this message, Lord. Oh, God, have your way, Lord, for, oh, God, you know all things. And I thank you, God. I praise you, Lord. I pray that you'd be with your people. Oh, God, guide us, direct us, keep us. Oh, Lord Jesus, work in us, Lord, and help us to be what you want us to be. Oh, God, we come to you in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood, Lord. Work in a mighty way. And oh, God, help me here tonight. Oh, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I wasn't 100% sure if Brother Samuel would be up to leading the service here tonight. But you know what? Lord just kept on giving me verses in the morning. And last night he was showing me things. And I just had a feeling, wow, we're going to have church tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So we do serve an amazing, wonderful God. And praise the Lord, he's here. He's here tonight. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to call this message, Looking for That Blessed Hope. Praise the Lord. Looking for that blessed hope. You know, this is the time of year. I had a telephone call a few days ago where somebody was wondering if we're going to have a Christmas service. And, you know, and it's a time when people who don't ordinarily go to church might just plain consider going. But here it is, you know, and people celebrating Jesus' first coming. And sometimes, and not as often as years past, it seems, but, you know, you sometimes see manger scenes and you know, people trying to recognize that Jesus Christ came into the world in that sense. And, you know, the singing of Christmas carols, some of them do reflect upon Jesus. But, oh my, you know, a lot of these customs, even if they were proper to begin with, and we know that all the connections behind them, all the activities that people do and all the Christmas trees and wreaths and bells and everything else all come from heathen practices. And so that's why we don't celebrate Christmas in that sense. Besides, the word, if you take it apart, it means the mass of Christ. And a mass is a death, and we don't do masses around here. We want nothing to do with such things. But thank God, you know, we have a love in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. He put it within us. And, you know, we know we came the first time and so very, very grateful and appreciative. It's a wonderful thing, but we also know that he's coming again. He's coming again. And oh, he's not coming as a lowly infant laid in a manger with swaddling clothes. No, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, yes, what a moment that is going to be when he comes forth and every eye sees him. Oh, yes, at the time of the resurrection, and oh my, at the time when the judgment will then therefore come forth. And oh, yes, when oh, yes, he will come and separate his people. Yes. That day is coming, and just as people looked forward to his first coming, we are looking forward to his second coming. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen, praise the Lord. Oh, we know that it will happen of a certainty. Oh, there's no question in my mind. I know he's coming back. And oh, yes, what a moment that is going to be when that great trump sounds and the dead in Christ rise. And oh, yes, the resurrection of the dead and oh, all the events, this earth, oh my, shakes and reels. And oh, yes, God begins to just send out great judgment as he comes to receive his people and then to judge this world in righteousness. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yes, there were people who were looking for Jesus when he came the first time. And, you know, it didn't seem like as he ministered there
that there were a whole lot of people that recognized him. You'd think that, you know, they were into the scripture, that they had a mind toward the scripture, that they would have recognized Jesus. He fulfilled all the credentials. But, you know, for the most part, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But tonight, to start with here, I'd like to focus on a couple individuals who were literally looking for him, very much so. So with that in mind, let's go to the Luke, the second chapter here, and let's just read two people that, their whole mindset was looking toward the appearing of Jesus Christ the first time. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to verse 25 here. Praise the Lord. It says here, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death." So the Spirit of God worked in him to reveal unto him that he was not going to see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And what a wonder. Oh, yes. So, yes, he had this expectation in his heart. And so it is here when they brought Jesus in to be circumcised there into the temple and had offered their sacrifice, Mary and Joseph, a sacrifice according to that which was written in the law, because, yes, Jesus fulfilled every detail of the law. So here it is. There they were. There was the babe. And here comes this man, Simeon, upon whom the Lord had revealed that he would not see death before he had seen the Anointed One. Christ meaning the Anointed One, or the Messiah. So here it tells us in verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Oh, praise the Lord. And there, Joseph and Mary, having heard these words, it tells us in verse 33 that they marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And it tells us, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Oh, yes, oh, the plan of God. But here it was, the young child, the Christ, had been born, had come into this world, and here's this man, Simeon, oh, who had long waited. He was just and he was devout, and, you know, he was waiting for this moment. Praise the Lord, and, oh, God's timing is so amazing. Here it was at that precise moment when he needed to come in. He came in by the Spirit into the temple. And oh, yes, he saw the child Jesus. I'm sure he immediately recognized that this was the Christ. This was the Messiah that he had been long awaiting. And praise the Lord, he took that young babe into his arms and blessed God with those words. Oh, yes, that are recorded here in the book of Luke. Amen. And yes, it was a marvel. Joseph and his mother marveling at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And I believe that's a reference to Calvary. Mary would witness that event, and oh my, not an easy thing for any mother, but oh yes, in so doing it, Jesus was giving his heart, oh, his life, his soul, for the salvation of souls, of you and I. Oh yes, for those that would believe upon him, praise the Lord, and follow and obey the gospel, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then there's another individual. This was a woman, Anna, and she isn't exactly young, and I just doubt that Simeon was young either. We don't have an age recorded here in the book of Luke, but here with Anna, we might have a little better thought that she was probably quite over 100 in age. Let's just read this here, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And let me just say this, it depends on how you interpret that verse 37. If that's telling us that she was her age, that she was 84, that's one thing, but I took it to mean that she had been a widow of that many years. And again, I'm not sure actually which interpretation is exact here. But if that was the case, that she had been a widow of that many years, then she would obviously be well over 100 in age. But either way, she wasn't young. She was of a great age, it tells us here in that 36th verse here in the book of Luke, here, the second chapter. But she too was very led by God Almighty, by his Spirit, and just as, oh yes, Jesus had been brought in, she comes in at one of those points while he is there with his parents, or Mary and the man who, yes, was his caretaker, shall we say. And so it tells us in verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. So we don't have her exact words here in her little speech, but oh my, she's speaking on behalf of all of them that were looking for the Messiah, the one who would redeem them. Praise the Lord. And what I see here, these two individuals, Simeon and then Anna the prophetess, is that they had been waiting. They had that hope deep within their hearts, a very concrete hope that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born and they were going to be able to participate in his coming, his first coming, that is. Praise the Lord. And I know, yes, there were others that had that hope in their hearts. But when we read the Gospels, we do get the feeling that a lot of the Jewish people had just kind of forgotten about the Messiah, or they had a false interpretation. And of course, so many of them, obviously, and this comes out in the Gospels, that they were looking for some kind of Messiah who would come and save them from Roman bondage. And that's, you know, what they considered. And of course, Jesus had another goal. His kingdom was not of this world. It was a spiritual kingdom. And he was coming with another thought in mind to redeem us from our sins, to give us a hope beyond this world. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, hope of a glorious inheritance in all eternity in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here, yes, we have these examples of two individuals who obviously were waiting for Jesus to come the first time, and God had put that in their hearts, and they were certainly led very much by the Spirit of the living God to just precisely, exactly come in when they did, very led by the Holy Ghost to do such a thing. But Jesus came and he fulfilled all scripture. And praise the Lord, as he was leaving this earth and ascending back into heaven, after he disappeared from out of sight, it tells us in the first chapter of Acts that while they who were there witnessing Jesus' ascent in this case into heaven, they had a message that was given them by two men that stood by them in white apparel, obviously angels. Tells us in Acts, the first chapter, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. Yes, so right then and there, oh yes, they were given, oh, the great promise that this same Jesus, the one that they watched go into heaven, oh, would come back. Oh, yes, in the same manner that they saw him leave this earth, that he would one day come back. And praise the Lord, how very reassuring. You know, they knew what they needed to do after that point. They had been told very precisely by Jesus that they were go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which he said that they had heard of him. And praise the Lord, you know, they did that. And of course, as they were waiting in the upper room, we know that the Holy Ghost fell on them on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, what a wonderful, wonderful thing, because they realized as the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, that, oh yes, that this was the Lord Jesus coming back in spirit form to be in their hearts, to lead and to guide them, to abide with them forever. Praise the Lord, to take them through this world and lead them through every predicament, through every trial, through every test. Praise the Lord. And what a beautiful thing. Yes, oh yes, it was revealed to Peter that, that infilling of the Holy Ghost that came upon them, oh, there on the day of Pentecost, was that which Joel the prophet had prophesied of those many years before. Oh yes, when he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And he went on to say, I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, we know that Peter proclaimed the plan of salvation there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, as he preached to those Hebrews, those Jewish individuals, that had come forth when they heard the commotion, when they saw the works of God, when they saw those 120 speaking in other tongues, even in their own languages, and bringing forth the wonderful works of God. Yes, they were pricked in their hearts, and Peter came forth with the gospel message, saying unto them in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. And I love that because, it wasn't just for those 120 there on the day of Pentecost. But he made it clear that that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost that came upon them, it was for those that were assembled there on that day. It was for their children, and it was to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. That means you and I. Praise the Lord. And that Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost still falls on the people of God in this day and hour too. Yes, if they needed it then, we sure do need it now. Amen. Praise the Lord, the Spirit of the living God to come and reside in our hearts, in our beings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus promised that he would return. First of all, he came in the Spirit to abide in their hearts. But they knew it was also going to be a time that would come forth when he would come forth again, this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to again, receive his people. Praise the Lord. Jesus clearly stated it in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, that promise. Oh, yes, that he's going to come again. Oh, in bodily form, he's going to receive his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, translate us. Oh, yes, we'll then forever be in that kingdom of heaven. Oh, yes, to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, that promise was given that he would come back. Tells us in Hebrews the 9th chapter, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. So here it's telling us, yes, Jesus Christ came into this world to bear the sins of his people, to bear the sins of many. And praise the Lord for his people that are looking for him, that are waiting for him. It tells us, to them shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we get our hearts right with God so we don't have to live in our old sins and trespasses. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so that we can receive the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And yes, we're looking. We've got that blessed hope in our hearts. And oh, praise the Lord. It's very, very clear within us. It's very definite. It's something that we yearn for and look for. And, you know, as I know Sister Shirley sent me a song, and oh yes, it was talking about that blessed hope and the return of Jesus Christ is coming again, and oh, you know, the desire within, oh yes, oh my, to see him, to be with him, oh yes, for that moment to come, because we've waited so long. Oh my, yes. We're looking for that blessed hope. And it tells us in Titus, the second chapter, going down to verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And I believe what that verse is telling us, that wonderful grace that Jesus brought forth when he gave his life a ransom for many on the cross, that grace that brings salvation is appeared to all men. In other words, it's available to all, praise the Lord. And yes, what it teaches us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yes, some instructions here, expectations of how we should conduct our lives in this world. Yes, you know, we've been taught that Holy Ghost teaches us that, yes, if we're going to live for the Lord, if we're looking for that blessed hope, then, oh yes, we're going to deny ungodliness. We're not going to want to be a part of this world. We are not going to want to engage in all their frivolities and all their sin and all the raunchy things that they do. And yes, all those worldly lusts that, oh, are just so a part of most people's lives who serve not our God. But if we're living for the Lord, we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And it teaches us that we should live soberly, you know, with serious intent, not frivolously and you know, not with a mindset that's way out there, you know, just, you know, unfocused on the Word of God and on his ways. That's absolutely the way of the world and not the way of his people. So we are taught that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Our focus on Jesus and on his word and, you know, striving, oh, to be like the Lord. Amen. To have godly attributes in a heart towards him. Oh, yes. And then it tells us in verse 13, oh, yes, if that's our lifestyle, if that's what we're living for, then we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, that 14th verse says a lot too. His purpose, his plan to come was, oh yes, to redeem us from all iniquity. Yes, he came to set us free from sin so we didn't have to wallow in our sins. We didn't have to live that style. He came, yes, to redeem us from the old man and his nature and all those worldly ways of life. And then, yes, he not only does he redeem us, but then that process of purification, oh, yes, you know, follows. Yes, so that we can be his peculiar people. And that word peculiar is such a neat word. It means shut up or belonging exclusively. And praise the Lord, if we're the Lord's peculiar people, it means that We belong exclusively to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the world loses its hold upon us. Praise the Lord. Yes, he came, to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself. Oh, yes, it's a glorious people without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, his own peculiar treasure. Oh, yes, those that he has set aside for his own plan and purpose. Praise the Lord. Zealous of good works. And oh, yes, those good works that follow us, because the Lord has worked in our hearts. And we know, yes, that we have been sanctified, that we've been cleansed by the washing of water by the word. It tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. That's how the Lord expects his people. That's why he gave his life for us. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, it's going to be presented to himself, that church, those called out ones. You see, we cannot continue to be partakers in the world if we're the children of the Most High God. We're part of his glorious church. Amen. We're not going to live in their same ways. We're not going to have their same thinking. We're not going to have the same ambitions that people of this world have. They're not going to understand us. Yeah, they'll think of us peculiar in their own peculiar way. But anyway, to the Lord, we are his people. We are that glorious church. And oh, yes, as he presents it to itself, to himself, it's a people that have overcome sin. Oh, yes, that have been purified. Praise the Lord. And oh, they're zealous of good works. Praise the Lord, because God has put it within our hearts that we would walk in his ways, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And yes, our eyes focused on Jesus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most people aren't regarding him. Oh, they might celebrate a bit tonight and maybe tomorrow, and just think about it a little bit, and maybe not at all, really. To many, Christmas, if you want to call it that, has just become a tradition, something you do, a celebration of sorts, maybe a time with family and all this is and that's. Oh my, but oh yes, it's so beyond that, our walk with the Lord. And oh yes, it's such a privilege to be a part of that glorious church. Oh, the one that God is purifying so that we can stand before him without a blemish. Oh, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's in our hearts. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God we can, live changed lives. And oh, we can be that new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, so that we can say, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord. A new creature in Christ. Amen. If we're in Christ. Amen. That's what he's going to take us. He's going to, chip off all the edges and corners that need to go, and all the faults and all the blemishes and, all the details that are not appropriate for a child of God, to make us truly his own. Praise the Lord, to make us his own son and daughter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look a little bit more of what is expected of us as Christians who, are striving to be like the Lord Jesus. We know for one thing, we are watching for him. We are waiting for him. And let's just look for a little bit in Matthew chapter 24. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 24. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Matthew 24, I'm going down to verse 36, and this whole chapter is applicable in so many ways other than the portion that does talk about 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. There's a portion that does refer to that detail. But praise the Lord, let's just look a little bit here at the latter part of this chapter, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And, the spirit of man would not know those details. But praise the Lord, the Spirit of God knows fully well, that appointed time when he's coming back. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And so we do know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God gave them a long span of time, a long period, to hear the fact that the earth was going to be destroyed by water. But it appears from this 38th verse here in Matthew 24 that people weren't listening, that they did not take the warnings that Noah was giving them seriously. They just went about doing their own things, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Just those normal things and just laughing, at what Noah, that preacher of righteousness, was saying and, treating it like it was a fable. But they were surprised. They were shocked. Oh, yes, because the word of God is true, and what God has declared, it will come to pass. Amen. So it tells us in verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So yes, Jesus is using this to exemplify that day when he returns to this earth. Oh yes, and by that means, this example, it's telling us that, when he returns, that there's not going to be too many that are looking for that blessed hope. Not too many that are looking for him. People just doing their own things, their own philosophies, their own religions, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and, maybe trying to be good, maybe trying to follow some rules, and, coming up with their own philosophies and so on. But it's going to be likened unto that day when the flood came, when Jesus returns. Yes, it says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like that, not too many aware that he's coming again and that we should be expecting him, just trying to be happy in their own way and doing the things that come to their minds, not taking heed to the word of God, not taking it seriously. And then it goes on. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And here I notice it says shall be taken, just as, you know, the flood took them all away. I don't think we want to be the one that is taken. I believe that's referring to be ensnared, to be trapped, to be deceived. And obviously there's going to be a lot of people, you know, just two individuals in a field and one taken in the devil's lies and promotion, the mark of the beast and everything else, and, you know, one left. Likewise, two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. So again, women doing their usual things, in this case referring to grinding at the mill, something that was very necessary in times of old for survival. But again, one shall be taken. And I believe that term taken here is referring to be ensnared, to be trapped, to be deceived, you know, carried away in the flood, so to speak, the flood of delusion that comes upon the face of this earth. And I believe this, the time is at hand, the things that we're seeing. Oh yes, all the examples that we could bring forth of that indicate how late it is, how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ. So it tells us in verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And oh yes, again, there's that spirit of, you know, a lukewarmness, of, you know, coldness, you know, just going about your own thing and not regarding the Word of God, not thinking on how he's coming soon. You know, it's interesting, you know, how there in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and, you know, there some more words to give us information that we need about his second return, his coming again. But there it's referred to, the day of the Lord is referred to as a thief in the night. And so you can see how off-guarded people will be in verse 3 when it says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I think that just clarifies some of that. You know, it just travail upon a woman when she's with child, you know, there really isn't any escape. You have to give birth to that child or die. You know, it comes upon you, well, it can come rather suddenly. And, you know, I guess as a woman with child, you have, you know, some ways of realizing, you know, that it's going to come forth. But, you know, all at once, that moment is there. But I believe it's trying to tell us here that, you know, he's coming, he's returning as a thief in the night. And they may even say, and it says they shall say, peace and safety. So you can see how people would be trapped. It looks like things are going well, and maybe even good times, perhaps, you know, and in things you have cleared up, perhaps, at that moment, so that people will be taken off guard. As it tells us, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But praise the Lord, you know, the Lord has put it in our hearts, that expectation of his return. And we don't ever want to forget that he's coming. People who forget don't live in preparation for that moment. If we're watching for that moment, then we're going to be living prepared for that moment. As it tells us in verse 44, back in Matthew 24, therefore be also ready, for in such hours you think not the Son of Man cometh. So we want to have this note deep within our minds, deep within our beings, so that, you know, it's something that we consider and think about, and realize, that this moment is going to come. It's going to come suddenly. It's going to come unannounced. It's going to take so many unaware. They're going to be ensnared. They're going to be trapped. They're going to be deceived. They're not going to be looking for him. So Jesus went on to say in verse 45 here in Matthew 24, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, if this is in our heart, to be looking, to be watching for our Lord to come, then we're going to be doing his will. We're going to be going about doing that which he has desired us to do. Like someone that is a servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, who is faithful and giving to those under him their food, their meat in due season. In other words, doing their master's will. And so, yes, we want to be like unto that. Jesus said again in verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and, you know, stop watching, stop waiting, you know, go about doing all the things that is in one's heart to do, you know, not expecting the Lord to come, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Yes, obviously not expecting his Lord to return. At that moment, you know, you wouldn't live like that if you thought the Lord was going to come and, you know, and then he'd find you, you know, in that state of mind doing that, those things. That would not go over well, would it? In the natural sense, I'm sure you'd be promptly dismissed. But, oh, yes, our God is expecting us to be doing his will, to living a life in victory for him. Oh yes, to have him on our hearts and in our minds. And oh yes, to be going forth to do all the works that he would desire us to do as his child. And yes, has told us, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Oh, there's a glorious, beautiful inheritance for the children of God. Oh, the things that he has prepared for them that love him. Amen. But it tells us, but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And obviously, hey, if you're just living your own life and doing your own things and not thinking about the Lord, not watching, not waiting, then, you know, that could be, you know, any time. You're just not, you know, you're not prepared. You're living another lifestyle. You're not given to the Lord. You know, you're not watching for him, and you're certainly not doing his will. Sadly, that's sort of the predicament, and we don't want to be under this sort of classification by any means. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh my, oh yes, we want to keep it deep within our thoughts, in our heart, that our Lord is coming back. Oh yes, His second coming is at hand. And yes, we as faithful servants are watching and we're waiting. We're waiting for that moment, that day of the Lord, when He's going to come as a thief in the night. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that moment when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. It tells us there in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Oh, it'll be completely different after that moment, that glorious moment. Oh, yes, that we are waiting for. And oh, it's going to be so worth it, because, oh my, if we miss that moment, we've missed everything. There will be nothing that means anything after that point. You know, our lives would have been vain and worthless if we don't live it for the Lord, if we don't do His will, if we are not found in Christ doing His will. Turning now to Matthew 25 and going down to verse 31 here in this 25th chapter of Matthew. It tells us more details, more description of His coming, His return again. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Praise the Lord. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And nations here, I believe it refers to all the people that have ever lived in this world, from all backgrounds and nationalities. Oh, yes, and places. And it tells us, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, the eternal plan of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, that wonderful plan that, oh, yes, He would have a people that would serve Him, that would be dedicated to His cause. Oh, that would take up their cross and follow Him. Oh, yes, no matter what, no matter how strange it may seem to everybody else, how forsaken we might be, how abandoned we might be by the others of this world. No, because He put His purpose deep within us, so that deep within our hearts, we want to do His will. We want to do the things that are right in His sight. Oh my, God forbid that we would be found, you know, going about doing the ways of the heathen, celebrating things that are not appropriate, biting, you know, one another, talking nastily, you know, making up lies, you know, drinking, you know, all those kind of things that God does not approve of. Those that don't regard Him and are not looking for Him. Tells us, so yes, then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, are thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, are naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Praise the Lord, the works that follow us because we're in Christ, because we're living according to his will. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're doing the things that please him. And that includes that love one for another, that desire to help one another in any way that we can. Amen. And God has saw it. He has witnessed it. You know, he has, you know, noted every detail. And the beautiful thing that he says here is, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. All those things that we do, that carrying one for another, that bearing one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. Those things that we do out of the love of Jesus Christ, which he put within us, oh my, have an everlasting effect. It's like we have done it for the King, the Lord Jesus himself. Amazing thing, amen. But to the contrary, those on his left hand, those that are the goats, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and he visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, going to be so worth it, oh, to serve the Lord and to fulfill his will, oh my, and oh, to have it within us to look for that blessed hope. Oh, praise the Lord, that hope is deep within us. Oh, praise the Lord, oh, we don't want to forget that. Oh, yes, we don't want to just get off course, run off the track, and, you know, just go do contrary things. Be persuaded of somebody who, you know, maybe is influential or maybe even a relative, you know, and is, you know, kind of, you know, would rather have us be like themselves or have a different mindset and not follow the Lord. You know, I don't want to go the wrong way. And oh, by the grace of God, we will not. But oh yes, instead we want to be looking and waiting. We want that blessed hope to be deep within us. Yes, because we are well aware that one of these moments, to them that look for him shall he appear. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, it's going to happen. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? It's going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And we want to be watching. We want to be waiting. We want our lamps to be trimmed and burning. Oh, yes, God forbid that they would ever go out. Oh, we want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, and have oil to take us through those hard moments. Oh, yes. Oil sufficient, oh yes, to take us through this world and to get us on the other side. Amen. Oh, yes. Mark said it just slightly different than Matthew. Let's go there just to read a little bit. Here, Mark, the 13th chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us here, Mark chapter 13, and I'm going to verse 21 in this case. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe it not. And yes, there's many deceivers that have come into the world and many that will still come into the world. And, you know, there's an antichrist spirit and plus, you know, one that maybe even will be proclaimed as the antichrist. We don't want to be deceived. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. It says to seduce. Oh my, to take as a snare, to entice, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Oh, this is a warning here, this 22nd verse here in Mark, the 13th chapter. But it says, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And then Jesus goes on after he describes his coming. Oh, that moment when every eye is going to see him. Oh, yes, even those that crucified him, they're going to see him as he comes in the clouds with great power and glory, and then sends his angels together forth his elect from all the four corners or all the four winds of the earth, from every part of the earth and of the heaven. And then he tells a parable. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only the Spirit of the living God knows that day and that hour. But here we're told, take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Oh yes, that's what it's all about. Oh, Jesus Christ has ascended into the heavens, amen. Oh yes, it's as a man that has taken a far journey. But oh yes, he gave orders, authority to his servants, to his people, to his children, and he gave us all a work that we need to do. And he commanded the porter to watch. He tells us, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. Oh, yes, oh, how we need to heed those words. Oh, yes, I know of a surety that our Lord is coming. He's coming for a people who have been washed in his blood. Oh, yes, for living lives that are in accord with the will of God. Oh, yes, and that are looking for him, that are watching for him. They're not allowing sin to be a part of their existence. They've given their sins over to to Jesus Christ. And oh yes, striving to master all those sins and to live in victory. Oh yes, to strive for the mastery over all the lusts of this world, the lust of the eyes, and oh yes, the flesh, all the problems that, you know, this flesh that we live in causes. But oh yes, we are waiting. Oh yes, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, going to verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Going about doing our Father's will. Oh yes, in this little short lifetime that we have. Yes, striving to please Jesus Christ. And as it tells us again in Titus, the 2nd chapter, as I get ready to close here, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Praise the Lord, oh, his own church, his own ecclesia, his own peculiar people. Oh, zealous of good works, yes, because he lives in our hearts and we want to please him. He puts it within us. He's redeemed us from our iniquities, from our sins, from our past, our old lifestyles. Praise the Lord, in the process of purifying us to make us his own, his peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh yes, a people that are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, watching and waiting, doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Put it within us to strive, oh Lord, against sin. Oh God, striving for the mastery and to please thee, to live for thee, to watch, to wait, and oh, to look for that glorious hope. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking for his second coming. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals to number 58 and sing "The Breaking of the Day," number 58.
I hear the people.
Bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.